AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Paul Gauguin Cruises.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Fed is expected to announce a decision today on another interest rate hike. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe says it could have a big impact on home sales.
Allison Goodhart DeShuttle runs a real estate company with her mom, Sue, in Northern Virginia, and has seen things cool in the past year. As rates climbed, she says buyers began getting priced out, and sellers decided to stay put.
Year over year, our market in the D.C. area is down about 20% in terms of closed sales.
Nationwide, existing home sales are still down more than 22% from last year.
The Fed is expected to raise interest rates another quarter of a percentage point amid the crisis in the banking industry. Former President Trump is still hunkered down with advisors at Mar-a-Lago, just waiting for word on an indictment for alleged falsification of business records tied to hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. CBS's Robert Costa.
If an indictment is issued, law enforcement sources say Trump would likely travel to New York, where he would surrender to authorities, be fingerprinted, photographed, and arraigned before a judge.
The cleanup is underway after a deadly bomb cyclone storm slammed into the central California coast. Trees and power lines litter the roads in the Bay Area, where two drivers were killed when their cars were hit by falling trees. More than 100,000 customers have no power there right now. We've learned TikTok CEO will defend the app before lawmakers on Capitol Hill tomorrow. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
It will be his first appearance before Congress. TikTok CEO Xiaoji Chu will highlight his company's efforts to improve security and data privacy. The vast majority of users, he will tell lawmakers, are over 18. He will testify that many of the company's security measures are first for the industry, including banning direct messages to anyone under 16 and limiting the watch time for those under 18.
The Supreme Court takes up the case of bad spaniels today. It's a dog toy that parodies a whiskey bottle. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum on the question before the high court.
Does the toy confuse the public and damage Jack Daniel's brand? Or does everyone realize that it is a parody and therefore protected under the First Amendment?
Officials in Newport News, Virginia, say two inmates who dug their way out of jail using a toothbrush to make a hole in the wall were recaptured hours later. They turned up at an IHOP nearby. Police Chief Steve Drew.
By the grace of God, glad no one was injured and that we were able to locate and get them back in custody.
Jail officials blame weak construction design for the breakout. The Dow is down 26 points. This is CBS News.
CBS News is brought to you by Paul Gauguin Cruises. Artfully authentic, all-inclusive year-round cruising to Tahiti and the South Pacific. Visit pgcruises.com. The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The third generation owners of Union Star Cheese Factory near Fremont were found dead of gunshot wounds on Saturday. Police arrested the 25-year-old son of David and Jan Metzik, Eric, later that day. Investigators found a journal in Eric's room at his parents' home where he talked about eliminating them. Metzik now facing two counts of first-degree intentional homicide, cash bond set at $1 million. Metzik has a hearing coming up March 30th. He is facing life in prison. Two bills that will dramatically increase penalties for reckless driving go up for a vote in both houses of the Wisconsin legislature today. The GOP-backed measures include doubling fines and forfeiture ranges for reckless driving and subsequent offenses. The second bill allows police to impound a repeat reckless driver's vehicle. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but is issuing this voter information guide for the April 4th state Supreme Court election so voters can make an informed decision.
The state Supreme Court may rule on Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban. So where do the candidates land on abortion rights? Candidate Dan Kelly made his position clear when he repeatedly compared abortion to taking a life. He even worked for a group trying to ban all abortions here in Wisconsin. And candidate Dan Kelly has been endorsed by the three largest anti-abortion groups in Wisconsin. And what is candidate Janet Protasiewicz's position? She said women should have the right to decide for themselves.
I value a woman's freedom to make her own reproductive health care decisions.
With access to abortion on the line, know where the state Supreme Court candidates land. The record is clear. Dan Kelly opposes abortion rights. Janet Protasiewicz supports abortion rights.
Paid for by American Civil Liberties Union Incorporated.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
At 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Chavoya, and he is the outreach chair for the Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Oppression, a.k.a. Antifa. anyway, man, no, scratch that. That was a mild attempt at humor. Yeah. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. How are you?
All right. I'm doing fine, man. I was really interested in the kind of work you and others like you do, and what brought my attention to you and your group is that over the last, I don't know how many months. And you'll be able to tell the listening audience in Milwaukee, three people have died in custody in the Milwaukee County Jail.
Yeah, it's been three since December, and we've been involved in this since June with Breon Green. So I'll be four since June.
So for people who may not know, try to wrap your arms around this. Four people who have been held in jail. And I don't know, man. I don't think they were all murderers, were they?
No.
I don't. Come on. Just average people held for whatever reasons, and four have died since December. To me, that's a big deal. And there hasn't been, from Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department, they have not explained why these people died.
Right. Where's the trust? She ran on trust, right? Sheriff Danita Ball, her campaign was, oh, I'm building trust with the community. Okay, where you at? There is no trust here.
You know, four people lost their lives in custody. Right? That's a big deal. When you look at all the things that have happened previously, and people can say what they will, and I know that there are people who law enforcement and can do no wrong. There are a lot of people in this country who believe that. And yet the fact that four people have died in custody since December, January, February, March. Come on, man. That should be a major story. And the families who lost their loved ones, and the excuse can't be, we don't have enough deputies, which is what they're saying.
Right.
You've got the county jail is jam-packed, overflowing. You got to do a better job. That's not acceptable. Well, you know, we don't have enough people. Come on, man.
Yeah. No, honestly, Breon Green's death, and I was there with the family when we saw the footage given to us by the DA.
And so what happened in that case?
And so Breon Green was arrested at the, you know, at a Bradford Beach, right, you know, by Lake Michigan. He gets picked up by some sheriffs, and they bring him to the jail, right? We don't know exactly what happened on that trip. That's part of the investigation, part of what we want to see, right, with the footage being released in a timely manner publicly. Once he gets booked, he gets placed inside a cell, right? Not with general population, but inside a cell, because they said that he wasn't cooperating or he was showing some sort of concerns for his behavior, which warranted him being put into a cell. So when you look at his records, he did have mental health concerns. He should not have been in jail. He should have been in a mental health facility to get the help he needed, right? Anyways, they bypassed that, put him in the cell. A couple minutes after he's in the cell, you could see him fidgeting with a phone that is inside, you know, one of those cables, those old school phones that we no longer have, right? Like those pay phones. And you can see him playing around with it. Shortly after, you could see him putting it around his neck. Tell me why, as soon as he starts putting it around his neck,
somebody didn't stop him.
A correctional officer walks by, and this is supposed to be their wellness check. As he's walking by, in the direction he's walking, he won't be able to look into the cell and see Breon because he's against, you know, he's on the side where he's walking from. Right. So he'd have to pause and look into it, right? It's a small cell, but you still, the angles aren't, you know, conducive for if you just walk by and you quickly glance. You have to look in there. He doesn't do that.
Which is his responsibility to look in
there. Exactly. It took him, he did it in less than a second. He just turned his head and kept walking by. Had he stopped and looked, he would have seen what Breon was doing and he could have stopped Breon. As soon as Breon started, the next check was supposed to be 15 minutes, according to the sheriff, right? According to Danita Ball, who told us that they do it every 15 minutes. It took them 37 minutes between the moment that that officer supposedly looked in and did his check. 37 minutes till the next one. And when she sees, at that point, you know, Breon's body's unresponsive, it's not moving, and they try to administer CPR and everything, but it was too late. So this wasn't an issue of, oh, we don't have enough. Because we saw once she called the alarm and sounded the alarm, all these COs started showing up. And there was a lot. There were like over 12 that we saw in the footage at that moment, right? So it's not a shortage of staff, as they're saying. It's not that they're under-resourced. They take majority of the county's budget already. It's that they're not equipped to handle cases of mental health, as we saw with Breon, or as we saw with the young woman who died in December, Sylvia Therion, who had a long history of mental health concerns and mental health disorders that she should not have been in jail because the jail is not the place to handle those.
So for people who have listened to me, they know that I have a son that is bipolar and schizophrenic. And he would not do well in jail. And so there was a time in this society where we didn't lock up people with mental illnesses. I lived during that period of time. Mm-hmm. And Ronald Reagan was then the president of the United States, and he changed all of that. And so when you lock people up with mental illnesses, and you can deduce that people are mentally ill, you don't need to be a psychiatrist or psychologist. If I'm a law enforcement person and I'm talking to somebody and I'm watching them, it's easy for me to see that that person is mentally ill, right?
Right.
So, but we have a system that does not allot for that. And so the fact that we put these people in those situations and then don't look out for their well-being, that's something seriously wrong with that, right? They're in your custody. In essence, they're in the county's custody. They're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're clearly not acting as if they're responsible, right?
I agree. It's supposed to be their care. They don't even say custody. They say our care. They try to make it seem nicer by saying care. Okay, we'll treat them, right? How are you treating them if you're saying with care and letting people die in there?
Well, you know, the fact that this is number four.
Right.
And to me, the federal government should be engaged and involved in this. They're talking about, well, we're going to check our policies. No.
Mm-hmm.
Checking your policies is too late for that.
Right.
When four people have lost their lives in 3-4 months.
Right.
We don't want to hear about your policies. Right. And the families who have to struggle and suffer through this have every right to be outraged. Well, you know, we had him because he stole a car. Well, okay. Let's say they had one of the people because they stole a car. Is that a death sentence? That they stole a car?
Right.
We have to come to a reality in this country that law enforcement, who is sacred, that people who are listening right now, they think law enforcement is sacred. They're always right. Well, guess what? They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who speaks in opposition to them is not anti-law enforcement. We all agree we need law enforcement. But we don't need law enforcement that will allow four people to die
mm-hmm.
in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then not be able, and the families not be able to get answers.
Yeah, those are some of the big issues, right? Like we know when we say we demand community control of the police, right? We see that our communities need safety. We want security, right? You go anywhere in Milwaukee, you talk to any people, and not just Milwaukee, any city. People want to be safe,
yeah,
right? In Milwaukee, we have a big issue because, well, how do we keep each other safe, right? We have certain institutions that can keep us safe, right? We were talking about the mental health services that have been getting slashed left and right over the last couple of decades. We have, you know, park systems keep us safe. Education systems keep us safe, right? But what we're seeing is that supposedly, right, the police or the sheriffs that are supposed to keep us safe are not. And they do that by neglect, which that's what, you know, we hold that these were cases of neglect, these four deaths, as well as by swallowing all that county budget or the city budget that should be going into these other resources, right? But then they say, oh, we need more law enforcement. We need this to keep you safe. But they're not keeping us safe. They're showing us every single time they're not keeping us safe, right? In less than a year, four deaths inside the county jail. Since 2008, there's been 17 that we know of. Right? That we can know of, because I'm sure there's probably have been even more once we started, you know, digging deep. So I'm glad you said, right, we can't just expect them to say, oh, yeah, we're just going to look into our policies. We need a different investigation in here. Every time there's been a case, they go to Waukesha Sheriff Department to investigate these cases. That's what they're doing with this latest one with Terrence Mack, who died less than a week ago. Why do they keep going to Waukesha? And Waukesha keeps coming empty-handed and saying, oh, we don't know. We don't see anything. So we need an independent, non-law enforcement investigation into these cases.
Well, you know, listen, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open. And my guest is Mr. Alan Savoia. He is the outreach chair for Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Oppression. 844-967-2789. What do you say? We'll be right back.
Walking alone and broken hearted. It's so hard to face reality, knowing loneliness is my destiny.
Hey, we got a big Wisconsin Supreme Court race this spring, and whoever wins will have a huge say over your freedom to vote, your freedom to make healthcare decisions, your freedom to have fair representation. So please listen to the advice from Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez of our Milwaukee Bucks, and make sure you vote in the general election on April 4th.
Hey, Wisconsinites, Drew Holiday here.
And Brooke Lopez here.
I want you to make sure you're registered to vote.
It's more important now than ever because politicians are trying to restrict our freedom to vote.
I think I know why.
They're worried about our power.
So they want to take it away.
Don't let them do that.
You've got to block that shot.
So please register to vote and get out to vote. Just go to myvote.wi.gov.
myvote.wi.gov.
Defend your right to vote and exercise your freedom to vote.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, WisDC.org, which is solely responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon with highs around 52. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for isolated rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 34. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 43. Cloudy skies. About an inch of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Love the music, by the way. That I'll be loving you always. Cause now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow. But in passing, we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, do know what I say is true. That I'll be loving you always. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Shavoya. He is the outreach chair for Milwaukee Alliance Against Racism and Political Oppression. Phone lines open at 844-967-2789. You know, the fact that there are people who are willing to do what you and others have done, you guys actually came together because of what?
Yeah, we got refounded actually in April because we saw the need for the COVID testing site that was shut down in the north side, the only one in the north side. And then a month after that, the George Floyd uprising happens, and we see the importance of that in Milwaukee. And that's when we decided to take more action against the racist killings by cops.
You know, you use the verbiage and the terminology racist, and that clearly sets a blaze under some who think that that's not the case, that law enforcement is not doing that for those reasons. You say what to that?
Well, let's look at the facts. Let's look at who are the ones that are being killed and how, right? You could look at it simply by looking at a mass shooter, right, who goes into a grocery store and kills over,
10 people,
all black. And does he get shot by the police? And he's carrying a huge gun on him.
No, they take him to get a burger.
Right. So then why does, a youth who's scared of the police, has no weapons on him, get shot up over 60 times, right, in a city like Akron, Ohio? Why does a 13-year-old who's running away from the police with his hands up in the air, a 13-year-old Chicano by the name of Adam Toledo, get shot up by the police when they don't have any, AR-15s on them or all these other weapons? So it's pretty obvious how they're trained to handle these things. And I don't care for the story of, well, what about the case of Tyree Nichols when he gets killed by black cops? Black cops are part of it too. Latino cops, Chicano cops are part of this too, right? It's that once they put that badge on, once they put that blue uniform on, it doesn't matter what their race are, it doesn't matter what their gender is, they're part of that system that is used to detain us, that is used to murder us.
So that there are people and who are listening to you right now and myself right now who disagree with your assessment and who think that, you know, if a law enforcement officer did something that they shouldn't have done, you know, there are reasons and we should understand that it's a tough job. You say what to that?
Okay, it's a tough job. Let's look at why they act the way they act. And let's look at all these other things that once they get into the job, they start doing. Why is it that in pretty much every single police department that, you know, we see, there are these gangs in there, right? We dealt with it in Milwaukee with the Punishers.
No
and
question.
These other ones. We look at, you know, because like I said, we're part of the National Alliance. So we have chapters all throughout the U.S. We were just talking to some people in L.A. Centro CSO does the similar work that we do. And they're part of the National Alliance. And they were talking to us about the gangs they got in the sheriffs there that are doing stuff that are the same thing. In order to get into the gang, what they have to do, they have to go kill either a young black man or a young Chicano from L.A. So there's these problems in there that have been pestering and pestering. And I understand that it's a tough job, whatever you want to call it, as an individual. But it's not, you know, just one person as a cop that's going to change all that. This has to go, right? You have to uproot it from the core. And this goes back to what we were talking about with the county jail. Sure, you can say it's not all on Danita, right? Breon died while Erna Lucas was still sheriff.
Danita is the new sheriff in Milwaukee County. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, people might say, well, it's not just Danita, right? This happened under, you know, Erna Lucas. This happened under David Clark, all right. These other sheriffs. That's fine. We get it, right? It's not just up to one person. But what we're seeing is that there's a failure for accountability there, that no one is taking any responsibility. And Sheriff Danita Ball right now is not taking any responsibility. She might say, well, Breon didn't die under my custody. Well, what about the other three? What about Sylvia, Octavino? What about Terrence? They've died under your custody, Esther. You took charge. And when we asked her, like, well, who's going to hold you accountable? Like, is there an oversight board or not? There's no oversight board. The sheriffs oversee the sheriffs, right? It's not like the police in Wisconsin, right, based on the, you know, legislature where there has to be a fire and police commission that oversees police. The sheriffs don't have anything like that. They just do whatever they want.
You know, I always say to people that, and let's do this. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What say you? My guess is Alan Chavoya. He is the outreach chair of Milwaukee Alliance Against Racial and Political Oppression. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Another interest rate increase watch is on. The Fed expected to announce today whether they'll go up again. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
We're likely to see a quarter of a percentage point increase, which would take the federal funds rate, the benchmark rate, to a new range of 4.75 to 5%.
Officials say at least two drivers were killed by falling trees when a bomb cyclone storm slammed into the Bay Area.
I kept getting these alerts on my phone of like wires down, an accident. And then I walked outside and it was just like a hurricane.
Chinese President Xi Jinping's return to Beijing after a three-day trip to Russia and talks about the war in Ukraine. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
China remains impartial, said Xi, on the side of peace and right side of history. China's plan could form a basis for a settlement, said Putin, but the West and Kyiv are not ready.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Janet Protasiewicz says Wisconsin's political maps are unfair. It's not just her personal opinion.
The map issue is really kind of easy, actually. I don't think anybody thinks those maps are fair. Anybody.
The High Court is expected to take up Wisconsin's legislative boundaries in the near future. She faced Dan Kelly in the one and only debate at the state Supreme Court general election campaign yesterday. 82 school districts in Wisconsin are asking for more money this spring. That's about the same number as November in almost one in every five districts in the state. Most of the questions ask for money for day-to-day operations, but others want money for buildings. In sports, Wisconsin is going to the NIT Final Four next week after beating Oregon last night. The Bucks host San Antonio tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
As a prosecutor and a circuit court judge, Janet Protasiewicz has been a lifelong advocate for victims of crime. Listen to Clayton from Milwaukee tell his story about how Judge Janet helped him.
After I was robbed and my girlfriend was beat up, Janet Protasiewicz was the prosecutor that went after those criminals. Those fools were on a violent crime spree. Janet prosecuted them case after case and brought those criminals to justice. I saw her work up close. She's compassionate. She's fair, and she believes in public safety. On the Supreme Court, I know she'll fight for you because she fought for me. Janet cares about us.
The stakes couldn't be higher when it comes to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Public safety, abortion rights, voting rights. It's all on the line, and it will be a very close election. Make a plan to vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz by April 4th. For more information, visit janetforjustice.com.
Paid for by Janet for Justice.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Chavoya. He is the outreach chair of Alliance, Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Oppression. And so you were really here to talk about the fact that there have been four people who died in custody in the last 3 months in the city of Milwaukee County Jail. And I don't care what you think about, you know, the people who are locked up. They don't deserve to die in custody, right? I mean, there clearly has to be an outrage that takes place. That takes place when these people die in custody. You have a responsibility
exactly
to to protect those people. You have control over them, right?
Right. And it goes to show you, if your loved one ends up in that county jail, there's a good chance that something like this might happen to them now, right? So that should be keeping us, you know, alarmed. And like you were saying, people should be alarmed by what's going on in there.
Let's do this. Let's bring on Don from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Don. Thank you very much for listening. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. It's always a pleasure listening to your show. This is my observation. So hopefully, you know, you don't.
Well, no. That's all we can do is take observations, Don. I'm not going to take offense.
Right. You know. Well, sometimes when you say something, people get angry.
Yeah, but not me.
Well, no, yeah, you're okay. Anyhow, what I've noticed is, like, you take law enforcement in general, it seems like the police chief here, Jeffrey Norman, is doing a good job, and on the other hand, the sheriff's department, it's been an eyesore for a long time.
True.
And it seems like maybe the process of how we select the head, because you've got to have someone that seems competent. And in the past, Ernell Lucas, he never struck me as a guy that was really interested in ever being sheriff in the first place. And this Danita Ball, I'm sure she's qualified, but you don't hear a peep out of her. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have incompetent leadership, and that's because people vote them in where the police chief is being selected. And they look at his background, and he's a qualified person. And what I think we don't have the sheriff's department is not, it's incompetent. That's my opinion.
So, Don, let me ask you. Four people die in the county jail inside of 4 months.
No, that shouldn't happen.
That's my point, man.
That shouldn't happen, though.
No, that's the issue we're talking about here. It should be talked about, and clearly there should be answers.
That's right. I agree. Right.
Where's the transparency, right, Don? Like, you're asking, like, incompetency.
And we have incompetency in the sheriff's department. I don't care what anyone says. Now, you take Jeffrey Norman. He's being selected. They look at his background. The guy has a lot of experience, and see where. It just seems like that sheriff's department has been an eyesore for how many years?
So, I'll tell you, Don. I know both of them personally, and so I'll leave it at that. But thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning, Bill. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
A great topic. You know, when people die in custody, whether it's police, sheriffs, whatever, there is no accountability coming from that department for one reason. In other areas, when somebody died like that, they call it negligent homicide. And if you have a job to be a jailer or in that department, you should also have the responsibility that, boy, if somebody dies under your watch, you're going to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to a very serious charge. To a very serious charge. You know, people say, well, it's Arnell Lucas, it's this guy. Wait a minute. No, he didn't let them die. The guy who was in charge let them die. So, if that's the case, it's the problem right at where the crossers are pointed. That's the bullseye. You got to deal with that. So how do you deal with that? That becomes the question. Pretty simple. They need more education, more training, and more accountability. I don't care how you want to, hit those points. That's what's necessary. Now, I don't say fire them all. I say, hey, as of this date, you people are going to be held accountable for anybody that passes away while you're
hey Bill, that's now, already in place. That's already in place.
How come they're not?
That's
okay, but why isn't that?
So
if it is, Earl,
yeah,
it's not. They're not taking care of.
No, you're
it.
Calling
so let's
for
let Alan. Let's let Alan respond. Yeah. Alan, you want to respond to Bill's question?
You know,
question?
You're saying some important things, Bill, and the things you're talking about accountability. So what I was saying earlier. The Milwaukee police, right, looking at the police, they're supposed to be held accountable by an oversight body called the Fire and Police Commission, right? That's based on state law. The sheriff's department doesn't have anything like that. There's no civilian, you know, accountability council. There's nothing like that that oversees the sheriff. They oversee themselves. So the accountability will come internally, supposedly. But we're seeing that there's no accountability inside. And like the previous caller was saying, this is a problem that's been, you know, I think he was calling it an ISO for many years. So there has to be an accountability network there. And there has to be an independent body that can hold them accountable. And I think it would have to be a civilian body. But that's something big that would require legislative change. But yeah. The more training they do, they get a lot of training. They get all of these things, but they get all the money in the county. They get majority of the money of the county, but they're not doing anything with it because it's a mismanaged office, the sheriff's office.
Oh, so you're talking about a restructuring of how the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department is handled. That's what you're basically saying. There needs to be a restructuring of the way it is handled.
Yeah, that has the power. The people would have the power to hold them accountable because the sheriff's not doing it by themselves. And they're the ones who are right now have the power to hold themselves accountable, and they're not going to do it.
Bill?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, here's you guys are striking on something very important. And the gentleman with you mentioned a citizens' board of accountability. We need those people big time across the boards for our politicians and many other people, because that's why they get away with murder, because they don't have to be held accountable. But like the gentleman said, if they have to appear before a citizens' accountability board, whether they're politicians or inmates or whatever, you raise the bar on the whole structure because you have to answer for all this.
I'm sorry about interrupting you, but I have to say, and we have to clarify, you say they get, you know, charged with murder or none of them are charged with, you know, clearly with any murder in any of these cases. And none of us are saying that they committed murder, you know, in these instances. So we want to be careful about how we word mm-hmm. that. But if you don't focus on and pay attention to people who are in your custody, and there is a process that's already in place that says you should oversee and watch these people, and that's your part of your job description and job title, and then someone takes their life, that's not exactly considered murder, but certainly there is some charge that you should be, something that should be charged to you because your negligence helped lead to this person taking their life.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. So, I mean, that's really what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the negligence. It's, in my opinion, it's criminal, right? I know the DA said they didn't find anything like that, but how can you keep saying you're not finding anything? There's clearly something going on in there. And if there isn't something, you got to show us what is going on in there, right? That's where the transparency piece comes into play. But as it's been said, the sheriff's not showing anything. The sheriff's not being transparent. That's why one of our big demands has been to be transparent.
I will tell you, man, I've been around a long time. And people dying in Milwaukee County Jail did not just start
mm-hmm.
with these four you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an ongoing problem for decades.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked it up and found out how many different people have died in custody in Milwaukee County Jail, you would be amazed. Okay, so it's nothing new. What you are saying and others are saying rightfully is fix it.
Right?
Excuse me. I mean, it shouldn't be allowed to continue to happen. And the only way you can fix it is to hold people accountable.
Yep. And you need power to hold people accountable, right? That's why they keep operating the way they do. And that's why, you know, something like a civilian police accountability council that could oversee them and have, a you know, certain powers like to fire and hire the sheriff, that could determine the level of training, that could control their budget, because they're going crazy with it. They're doing what they want with it. You know, we had an issue last year when we were talking about their overtime budget.
Right.
They're supposed to have an overtime budget of about $1 million, right? Which is not a small sum. These people for the last like 10 plus years have been using up significantly more than the million. They've been using close to $3 million.
Right, because they say they can't get enough people who are willing to work.
And then they use it to call for more money, but that's not the case.
So the other part of this is you've got, and they're separate, the sheriff, I mean the deputy, and the people who are responsible for what happens in the court, in the jails, two different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have deputies whose responsibility it is to watch over people who, I forgot what you call those people, but they're not deputies. So there's a separation from the two peoples who the deputies arrest people, bring them to the court, to the jailhouse, and then there are people whose responsibility it is to watch and oversee all of that.
The COs, the correctional officers.
Right. And so you're right. They're making outlandish sums of money. And they say it's because, you know, they're overworked. You hear that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people who are in those positions in the jail, they clearly state, and they all know that the guys are overworked and young ladies are overworked, and they're there, and they don't get breaks that they should be getting. They need to hire more people, clearly, who can pay more attention to those people who are locked up. That's part of the problem. When people are working double shifts constantly and not getting weekends off. Yeah, they're making a lot of money, but, man, you know, just the fact that you're allowed to make a lot of money is not good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
People who are working double shifts and, you know, 18 hours a day, they're not going to be sharp enough to focus and pay attention. That's one of the issues we're talking about. Those are things that should be addressed, right?
Right. And if they are being overworked, we got to look at it. Why? Well, they're overpopulated in there. And they have been overpopulated for many years, even during COVID, when the regulations were being told, you know, take them out. Have smaller numbers because it's going to contribute to higher cases of COVID.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guess is Mr. Alan Chavoya. He is the... he's with Milwaukee Alliance. He's the outreach chair against racist and political oppression. We'll be right back.
We're rolling out the red carpet for all area musicians to be a part of Hoozles at the Lakes Rise to Music competition this summer. If you're an artist and you believe you have real talent to share, you're invited to check out competition details, then sign up for the second annual Rise to Music at hoozlesrisetomusic.com. Registration is open now. Brought to you by Hoozles at the Lakes, your local civic media radio station, Wisc Country 105.5 WIRI and Max Inc. Radio.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once.
He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, "What? Bobby!"
He was invading lots of bubbles.
Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 52 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Chance for isolated showers. Lows level off around 34. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Chance for mixed precipitation. Daytime highs approaching 43. About an inch of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Alan Chavoya. He is the outreach chair for Milwaukee Alliance Against Racism and Political Oppression. You wanted to say, Alan, there was something that you wanted to say before we, you know, leave.
Yeah, so, you know, we're not just pressuring the sheriff. We know that you got to, you know, pressure multiple fronts. So we're also been pressuring the Milwaukee Police Department because there have been in custody deaths with them, right? Most recently in District 5 with Keyshawn Thomas last year, who died. And now there have been some, you know, charges, right, for these police officers. So they are being held accountable. We need to see something like that. So we've been pressuring the fire, you know, the Fire and Police Commission to create a standard operating procedure that requires a high level of transparency. We want them to release body-worn camera, squad camera, any footage related to cases, you know, critical incidents, as they call it, to be released publicly. Footage to be released publicly within 48 hours and the names of those officers within 24. So in cases like these, families oftentimes are left months without understanding what happened. They need to see that footage. The public needs to see what's going on. And that's what we've been demanding from the sheriff. It's not a coincidence that when Waukesha released the footage for Breon Green, almost, you know, 6 months after the fact that he died, that they released only small part of the footage. They didn't release what's going on inside the jail. They didn't release the footage that I saw in which that correctional officer just simply glanced while he could have stopped and they're surveilled and then seen, you know what, I got to save this child. And they're not releasing that. So we need to see transparency. We need further transparency in our communities from the sheriffs, from the police. We need accountability, right?
You know, man, it is ridiculous and unacceptable that these cameras that law enforcement wears. There was a time when they didn't have cameras, and people organized and brought pressure because they wanted to see what transpired and what took place. Because prior to the cameras, if the police said this happened, 99.9% of the time, people are going to believe just the police because they're law enforcement.
Right.
And so the cameras were brought into the situation to where people could then see for themselves.
Exactly.
As opposed to just saying, well, they're law enforcement, we're going to believe law enforcement. And the fact that 6 months later, you can't even get the cameras to see what took place is ridiculous. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever.
What's the purpose of housing these cameras, right? Using all that money for cameras. Because it takes money to keep these cameras going, to run them. and to house that footage. So tomorrow, actually, at 5:30 p.m. in Milwaukee City Hall, we're actually there's a meeting with the Fire and Police Commission's their Policies and Standards Committee that's drafting this standard operating procedure. We're going to be putting pressure on them to say, hey, as you're drafting the standard operating procedure for the public release of footage, we want it within 48 hours publicly because people have to know. Otherwise, what happens as soon as there's a critical incident, right away the police get their PR machine going, or the sheriffs do, and they start saying, oh, this person was a criminal, this person's got this background, right. And it buys the public. And then the public says, okay, well, I agree then why this person was killed or why this person was severely injured.
So, man, you bring about legitimate points, man. There's nobody in 844-967-2789 is the number. People may disagree with you, but they can't ever say that the things you're saying are not true. People have a right to disagree. You have a right to disagree. That's it. But it doesn't. We can't argue and compromise truth.
Right.
You know, truth is what the camera shows. And then nobody can fabricate anything else. Your eyes will it show you what took place. And the fact that it always takes so long leads you to believe people are trying to concoct something that is going to lead them down a different road, but they can never get to something that they're looking to try to get to because the picture tells the story.
Right. And that's what we're demanding. I think this is something that everyone should be agreeing to, that we need more transparency. We need more transparency from the police. And so, like I said, there is no requirement because there is no policy in place that requires the public release of footage from the Milwaukee Police Department. So that's what we've been fighting for. And tomorrow at the FPC Policies and Standards Committee, we're going to make it known again. We've been, you know, dealing with this for over almost 2 years at this point with them, to create the standard operating procedure. We've brought families who have lost loved ones to police violence and police crimes. And they told the FPC what they want. And what they want is to have this footage released within 48 hours. So I believe we can get there.
So whether or not I committed a crime or not, and I'm in custody, I don't care if I murdered somebody, and I'm in custody, that doesn't mean that judge and jury is what happens in the jail.
Right.
Right? That's not the way it's set up.
It's supposed to be a system, right?
Yeah. You can't be the judge and jury in the jail because we have custody of you. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it works. But it, as you stated, there are people who say, well, they committed a crime. Well, again, people commit crimes all the time. The sentence is not given by people and police or that's not their role.
Innocent until proven guilty, right? You got to let that system. If you believe in the system, the justice system, you got to let it play out, right? That's what they always demand. They point to it. Oh, the system works. Why are you saying it works and then not letting it work out by blaming these people?
Listen, man, I want to thank you for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you,
man. I respect what you guys are doing. I think we need everybody to hold people accountable and to make things right. And what you and others are doing, we need to have that, right? We got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Kevin, as always. Calvin, I don't know where to get it. As always, for the work you do. And I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
That's why I'll always stay around. You are the apple of my eye. Forever you stay in the sun. Yeah, you are the sunshine of my life. Baby.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page or Squarespace. or Google My Business, or WordPress? But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Harvey High is now in session. Today's subjects, biology.
Name an animal with the long neck.
Dinosaur, long neck, yeah.
Let me ask you something. When last time you seen one?
Anatomy.
Name a part of Steve Harvey that a woman might want to kiss.
Your six pack.
The six pack? Does she know who Steve Harvey is? You got to dig for it, but it's in there.
Get schooled with Family Feud.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on CW18.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.